And he has been such a role model there. I know you heard about his crafts that he made. He has made so many crafts and donated them to schools to raise money. He didn't ask for anything, any money out of it. It was his way of helping out. I hope that he is home soon, that he can get to know his sons and his family and his grandchildren, and that he's missed out on all these years. My sister at the time when they were married, she's in heaven now, but she wasn't a good wife. She wasn't there, and it was more important for her to move out of state and take job for money than be a wife. And I hate saying that about my sister because I still love her dearly. We're not all perfect, and we all have mistakes. And I just hope he gets granted this, and that we can all do the forgiveness that God teaches us, because we have to. And I can't wait to hug him when he gets off that plane and comes home. Thank you.
Thank you. Board, any questions? Thank you. Any more supporters wishing to speak? Okay, if there's no more supporters wishing to speak, we do have someone on the phone.
We had a couple of people on the phone. Who's on the phone at this time? Hello?
Hi. Oh, this is me.
Okay, is anyone else on the phone? What about your nephew, Jim? Jim, is you still on the phone?
Yep.
Okay. So you have Jim, and you also have Tony. You have both of them on the phone, sir.
Yes, this is Tony. I'm still on the phone.
Okay, so, Jim, you want to go ahead and present any information that you'd like to present to the board?
Jim? Are you ready, Hoppa? Still
Swerto? Swerto? Mr. Johnson was asking if either one of you had anything that you would like to say on behalf of Mr. Sullivan at this time. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, this is Tony. Yes, I just wanted to say I called in just so you guys know that Tom Sullivan, I am his son, his best friend's son, and I just want you guys to know that when I was younger, he taught me everything. That's my second dad. He taught me everything from education to playing sports, and that's just moral values, and I want to let everybody know that, you know, Tom is a really caring guy and very hard worker, and, you know, he means that. You know, everybody makes mistakes, but, you know, you've got to, you know, move past it and, you know, and look for the future. And that's what Tom, what I'm doing, what he's doing, you ask me for, what he does forgiveness, and, that's what I call him for.
Okay.
And, I love Tom, and I love him for him. Thank you.
Okay. Jim, does anyone else on the phone have anything else they'd like to say?
Yeah, this is Jim Clinton. Tom was my uncle over the years, and you know, when I grew up, he was like my second dad. I didn't have a dad when I grew up, and since I was like 8 years old, and he'd take me out fishing, and just he started up a boxing club there, and just really did a lot of good things for this city of Griffin, Wisconsin, and he just taught me, you know, just work ethic and honesty, integrity, and, you know, when he called me out when I made mistakes, and you know, I'm not a perfect person either over the years, you know, I made mistakes, but he called me out, but he'd teach me, you know, what I learned from it and the lessons from it, and you know, he started up, he did a lot of good things for boys, teenagers, and Redmond. He started a place for them to go to instead of being on the streets, like a place like an amusement center with billiards and ping pong machines and, you know, like a, you know, just a really good program for the boys. And I just want to say that, you know, Tom, he made a mistake, and he's very sorry. I've been talking to him over the years. I've been talking the last 20 years, put him on and off. I visited him out in prison. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes in life, and he's just asking for a chance to get out and make an impact in the society out here. He made an impact in prison and helped a lot of people over the years there, and he just wants to get out and be a granddad and a father.
Okay, thank you, sir. Board have any questions? Then the board has no questions. Mr. Salomon, we're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir? Mr. Salomon?
Yeah.
Sir, we're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
No, not really. I'd just like to move on.
Okay. So, sir, the board's about to go into discussion. While the board's going into discussion, Mr. Sullivan, I'm going to ask you to remain silent as the board goes into discussion at this time, and then we will make a decision as to what the board's going to do. I do want to just say that the board's now in the discussion. Before we start our discussion, I do want to make a comment and reference our tape recorder. We do have this tape recorder and a backup tape recorder here, but I did cut this tape recorder on, so I want to make sure that for the record that we do know that we did have several supporters here that had the opportunity to speak for Mr. Sullivan that we have here. This is actually a parole hearing for Mr. Sullivan, which actually is a parole to his next consecutive sentence, which would be a sentence for sexual conduct with a minor, which is a 1-year, 10-month, 14-day sentence that he's would be going on parole to. At this time, he does become parole eligible on his current sentence. His current sentence is July 4th of 2018 is when he will become parole eligible on that actual sentence that he actually has there on this sentence. We do have several documentation here and letters of support here, as well as the information of what he's done since he's been incarcerated. He has had a clean record in the last years that he's been incarcerated, and also that he has been very active since he's been incarcerated. He's taken up some programs and assisted other inmates while he's has been incarcerated. So I wanted to make sure that since we got this recording started late, that we did get that information on there. Also want to include a letter that's not in support of him being released to his parole to his next consecutive sentence from the Maricopa, from the county attorney's office, that we did receive that letter that's also contained inside of the file. Now we're going to go into the actual discussion for Mr. Sullivan. I think that Mr. Sullivan has done an outstanding job with since he's been incarcerated, since he's been working there. He does have a lot of family support here, and this has been continual that the family has been here in support of and working with him. There is some question that I have, and I would tell you that at this point in time, I know that there's a short period of time that's left for him to, but I am very concerned that he was involved in this activity, but he hasn't had the opportunity to take the SOS class or any sexual classes to really identify what are the triggers that actually triggered this, and that he only has a short time left that he would be on parole. And according to Mr. Sullivan, he can't take those classes until he's on his last sentence, and his last sentence is only for a 1-year, 10-month, and 14 days, and I'm not sure that he'll get that in there. He actually has an early release credit date of the sentence that he's currently serving for October 26th of this year, that he would be released. At this time, I definitely am not comfortable with releasing him before he has the opportunity to take that SOS class, and I think that if the records that I'm looking at is right, that he has an unreleased credit date of October of this year, then he would be going to his next consecutive sentence after that. But that would give him a little bit more time to take those classes, get in those classes, and find out what his trigger is, because those classes last for a little while, but I think that he needs to find out what triggered it. I know he said that he was lonely and he was going through some things, and he got involved in his sexual activity with these minor kids, but that's where I'm at, at least where I'm at this time. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Mr. Neal.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. In listening to everything, I agree with you on the sex offender classes. I don't want to say that there's no concern for the victims, but it seems like everybody is, because the victim know each other, it's not as serious when they're three separate people, but it's just as serious, if not worse, because when victims like that fall into the problem of trusting the person that's molesting them, that's the most common thing we see in child molest. And it's, I realize he's getting older, and you know, when he gets out, he'll be older, but sex offenders, especially with child crimes, tend to repeat unless they can find those triggers and be very cognizant of what it was. And loneliness can get started, but it continues for a long period of time. And one of the victims was 9 years old. Now that's, to me, a little bit less understandable than 16 years old, because 16 year old was 11 when it started. So I just don't get the feeling that, and it may not be that there's not remorse or taking responsibility for the crime, but it's just that lacking of, like you say, knowing what the triggers are and what caused it to make sure that it doesn't happen again, because you can be out there with grandkids, and it's not beyond the scope of things to be worried about them. But at this time, I don't think I'm comfortable with a parole to next consecutive sentence, and definitely no absolute discharge.
Dr. Wright, did you have any comments?
Yes, sir. I think that I do agree that he needs this sexual counseling, that program. But I think that if he's released to his next consecutive sentence, he would at least have over a year to participate in that program. No, he would not complete that program. However, if he is on it, I don't know the answer. I haven't seen that in the documents. But if he's on lifetime supervision, then he could continue to get that type program once he is released, if he's on lifetime supervision. And I think that in as much as it's... if we move into his next consecutive sentence, he still have over a year. And I as just one board member, usually don't think this way, but in view of the support from the family and in view of where he is at this time, I think it would, as one board member, that we ought to consider moving into his next consecutive sentence. Of course, not absolute discharge. That's just one board member's opinion, sir.
So Dr. Wright, he will be able to continue, if he starts that program, be able to continue that program outside of once he...
If he's on lifetime supervision, I don't know whether he's going to be on lifetime supervision, but usually sex offenders are on lifetime supervision. If he's on lifetime supervision, he would still have to report to a parole officer once he's out. Consecutive sentence at any rate come October, which is just what 5 months from now, and therefore, because of what this board does today, unless something goes wrong, you would have, you would be eligible, let me use that word, eligible, not maybe the board, because that's a decision as we defined yesterday, that the director, Department of Corrections will make that determination, but he would be eligible at that time. Otherwise, if it's his SED date on the current sentence, would be next year. No, I'm wrong on that. Yes, next year. So, but he has, you know, a little less. If he completes his sentence, his total sentence, if he goes all the way to his SED date, which is September 10, 2020, that's a little more than 2 years. That means that he would have 2 years against the training.
But that's not right. I tell you, that is a, I mean, very, I've always been supportive of trying to make sure they take those classes. I mean, that classes is what determines whether they understand or get their, they have a trigger to understand so that they don't reoffend, and that when we release them out to the community, that they have an understanding of that, and there's a good probability that they're going to reoffend if they take those classes and know what their triggers are that actually have them commit that. I'm trying to just look through the sentence documents that we have available. And I'm looking at one thing that says suspension of the sentence and term of probation are not appropriate. So,
you will be on probation, you will be.
I think that says it's a probation not appropriate in lieu of incarceration. That's, I don't think that governs the sex offender by registration. But I don't see anything that's specific even.
We have to go with what the board determined. What if we do absolutely nothing today in terms of moving this to his next consecutive sentence, he's going to be out at maximum. He's going to be out on September 10, 2020. That's his SED date on that last sentence.
Right.
So he's going to be out in 2 years regardless of what this board does.
My concern is just that he does have the time to take that class.
Well, as you know, there are three classes. He should have a chance to take probably two of the classes. That third class he probably would not be able to take, but I think each one of them is for 1 year. Therefore, he'll be able to complete two classes, yeah, provided that the institution, his CO3, would get him into the program. We have to remember that he can't get himself in that program. His CO3 would have to. If his CO3 would work with him and get him in the program, then he would have 2 years of, in the program.
up to whether he has like I said, he would wind up with some time on a community supervision. He was actually released back out into custody. I don't know when he would be able to get into that sexual offenders treatment that he has, that he's actually generally being in custody. Like I said, I do believe that his term release friend date is in 4 months. Actually 6 months that he'll be going to that. I wanted this to have that additional time to make sure he's able to take that class. He does become and actually that date will be earlier, because right now his earned his credit date will be January 25th of 2020. However, if he's paroled to his next consecutive sentence, that date would probably be recalculated, and it would be shorter than January. So I'm not sure that, you know, the time that he would actually have to take that class. That's the concern that I have. And looking at his application, if he was, Mr. Dale?
There is one place in the sentencing that he will serve 1 day for every 7 days of the sentence imposed under the supervision of the community supervision program to be served consecutively to the actual period of imprisonment. So no matter what, he's going to have at least some supervision after he's out.
Okay. I believe that we can get some information with the permission, sir, from Mr. Herrick. So she's in the room.
Mr. Chairman, board members, the reference that you were just referring to, Mr. Neal, that's an inaccurate statement. That's that does not apply to his sentencing, the 1 day for every 7 days. That's part of the truth of sentencing. They went into effect January 1 of 94, and since his offenses occurred prior to 94, that term of community supervision is not applicable to his sentencing. He would be supervised on parole until he reached his earned release credit date on the final sentence. So if he were granted parole, which would become effective July 4th of this year, that would start his final sentence July 4th. And if what he is indicating is accurate, then that means he would be able to enroll in that program 3 months earlier than the October date that you're referring to. And I'm assuming that's the sentence expiration date that you're looking at for his count A06. And I don't, excuse me, but I don't have his
sentence. A09 is the sentence end date. The SED date is right now is September 10th of 2020. The ERCD date is January 25th.
You want to look at this, sir?
Sure. Thank you. And I just happened to bring my glasses so I can read it.
Well, you did. I mean, that's your work.
That's it.
That's it. That's what I'm saying for all.
Okay, so 06. So the sentence expiration on the A06 charge is June 11, 19. October 26th of 18. And they begin the final sentence, A09, on that date. The sentence expiration date for A09, that's not a date that he would be serving to. He would be serving until he reached his earned release credit date on A09, because that would be an absolute date. That's one that he will be released on, and when he's released, he'll be without supervision. So if you want him under supervision, when he's released, it would have to be a parole grant. If not, he would be released on ERCD, which would be with no supervision. If that helps. If he were granted parole now, at least he would then start the program earlier versus later. And if it's like Arizona, official, they could then be at least placed on the list versus waiting until they actually reach the next sentence date. So that would move them up on the waiting list so that they can get into the program sooner.
That's a very good point, because he is out of state, he's not in Arizona.
Correct.
Right.
Any other questions?
No, sir, thank you. Is there any more discussion on behalf of the board? If there's no more discussion, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. I do have the discussion here in great detail with some explanations and things that we have. This is at least the second time that I know that I've been here, and there's been quite a bit of family support that have been here and continue to support, including his son and his friends who actually have been here and supporting Mr. Sullivan. So he does have a family support, and that's what I do. Be supportive of him as he goes in.
Up the phone.
Okay, so Mr. Sullivan, you
heard us have quite a bit of discussion about that sex treatment class, that that's important. So we just feel that's important for you to be able to take that class and learn what your triggers are, so that when you get out, sir, that, you know, not only do you know that the loneliness may have caused part of it, but whatever else may have caused it, so that you won't have any problems when you release, sir, and that you'll be a productive citizen. You have been doing a great job since you have been incarcerated. Your family's been here several times in here in support of you, sir, and we don't want to see you get back in any more trouble. So please, sir, get involved, get it, you know, take that programming that you have to take on your last your last sentence. You can't take it to your last sentence, so your sentence is kind of short. So try to enroll in that program, sir, as quickly as you can, okay?
I'm on it as soon as I hang up the phone.
All right, sir. Mr. Sullivan, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time. We do want to thank you for taking the time to participate in your hearing today. We also want to thank those who are on the phone who are participating in the hearing. We're going to be disconnecting the phone at this time. We want to thank those who came out and support Mr. Sullivan for taking the opportunity and time to come out and participate in the hearing today. That is going to conclude the hearing at this time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.